Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6 this morning. I want to go to the 6th chapter in the book of John. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody doing all right? How can you feel the Lord in this place this morning? Y'all feel the Lord in this place? Is it just me? I feel the Lord in this place this morning. Can I tell you, this whole chapter in John chapter 6 is about food. Y'all hungry this morning? I said, y'all hungry this morning? Huh? We are not going to preach on John chapter 6 during our fasting in a couple months. Oh, listen. It starts with the multiplication of the fish and the loaves, and it ends with Jesus making the announcement that I am the bread of life. Amen. It's amazing what's taking place in John chapter 6, and I want you to see it, and then we're going to end with taking communion together. Amen. Everybody got their communion elements? Praise the Lord. So we're going to end with a worship song, and we're going to take communion together. So for the sake of time, let's read verse 26. Everybody, John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He says, you're coming for the food. Church. He said, you seek me for the loaves. You're coming for the food. It's free food. And Jesus said, you're coming after me for what I can give you. He said, you seek me for what I can do for you. He said, you seek me for the loaves. And then he starts making some really powerful statements here, guys. I want you to see this in verse 51. He says, I am the living bread. Look at it, that came down from heaven. And then he says in verse 53, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, if you don't, he said, you will have no life in you. Watch. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now watch this. Verse 60. The Bible says in verse 60 that they said, this is a hard saying. Who agrees with that? Four of you? Rest of you, y'all got this? Because that's all. In verse 60, look what is. His disciples came up to him and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Can y'all agree with that? Yeah. I'm not, listen, if I come up and we're friends with you and I'm your friend and we're hanging out a little bit and you say, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's not weird to y'all? Only four of you thought that was weird? I'm serious. He said, his disciples said, wait a minute. Let me say this to you guys. He had not instituted the Last Supper. They did not know what Holy Communion was yet. They had no idea what he is talking about. And he is telling them, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood. They just watched him do all these miracles of the bread and all this stuff. And he's like, well, you got to eat my skin and drink my blood. He's like, maybe I'm the only one that's weird too. Obviously not, because they thought it was weird too. They said in verse 60, they said, this is a hard saying. This guy's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And then something amazing happens in John 6, verse 66. 666. Y'all, catch, don't forget that one. Y'all can't forget that one, can you? 666. Something that says this. From that time, watch this. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I love y'all more than anything. I'm not sure we could hang out if you wanted me to eat your skin and drink your blood. Nor could they. Amen. They had no idea. Look, it says in John 6:6, it says from that time when he said that many of his disciples walked away and they walked with him no more. He said, if you're going to eat, you can't just eat one part of the meal that I'm offering you. He said, if you're going to eat, you can't just eat one part of the meal that I'm offering you. You got to eat the whole meal. You got to eat all that I am. You got to take me completely, church. He says, you can't just have the miracles. You can't just have one little piece of the meal I offer you. This is where you got to get a hold of this, y'all. Because look what he said. He said, they said, this is a hard saying. Watch. John 6:66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, there was a multitude with him. Many of his disciples had walked away from him. Then he turned to the 12 and he says, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, where can we go? Nobody else has what you got. You got the bread of life. You have the words of eternal life. So I want you to see this story, and I want you to talk. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about it, because all they wanted was a miracle. All they wanted was a miracle from God. They had already seen him multiply the loaves. They had already seen him multiply. And that's all they wanted, was the multiplication of the bread again. Say amen, church. He said, you follow me, right? The Bible says that after he fed them, Jesus went across. You know the story. I'm challenging you. Read John chapter 6, okay? Read John chapter 6. He sent his disciples. He walks on the water. He gets out there. The people who were there, they saw him. They saw the disciples get in the boat and leave. Amen. Jesus walks out on the water. He gets in with them. They get to the other side. And as they get to the other side, the people start coming over to him. Read John chapter 6. And then they get over there and they're saying, do it again. Do it again. We like that one meal that you made over on the other side. We really like that bread that you made up for us, Jesus. Do it again. We really appreciated that miracle. We raced over here because of the free food. We wanted to get over here so you could bless us, God. Give us what we want. Give us what we want, and we want that. We want the loaves. We want the bread. And Jesus starts saying, there's so much more to the meal that I want to feed you than just one little dish. You missed it. Y'all missed it. Jesus said, there's so much more that I want to serve you in this meal than just one little dish. All you want is the bread. All you came over for was the miracle. You seek me, what'd he say? Only for the loaves. In Canada, listen, there's a wildcat that is known as the lynx. It is especially adapted to cold weather. And the lynx has a primary diet of something called the snowshoe rabbit. Amen. The snowshoe rabbit is in very much abundance in Canada, up in the Yukon, and all up in that area, especially in the winter months and in the wintertime. Believe it or not, guys, listen, look it up. They said there could be up to 50 of these rabbits per acre of land. That's a lot of rabbits. Except when something called the sunspot happens. And it only happens every 7 to 10 years. And when that sunspot happens, and they haven't really quite figured out why completely. They haven't really, but what they do know is the population of the snowshoe rabbit drops down from about 50 rabbits per acre to about 2 or 3 rabbits per acre. Amen. And because the primary diet of the lynx is about 80% snowshoe rabbit. Come on, church. That when the sunspot happens and the rabbit population collapses in those years, then the lynx population starts to decrease. Because if they varied their diet, if they varied their diet, church, because they need to eat something besides one thing. Come on, church. There's other animals they can eat. There's birds out there. There's other animals. There's other, things, the four-legged animals that they can eat, but they only want what they like. But they only want what they like, and they end up staying on the endangered species list. Listen, because when the rabbit population goes away, the lynx starves to death. The lynx didn't have a collapse. The snowshoe rabbit had a collapse. And they demanded one diet, and because the snowshoe rabbit had a collapse, the lynx started dying. Church, are you understanding what I'm telling you? The same thing is with you and I. The same thing is with you and I. What would we do? Think about it. Most of us, I mean, I know we live in rural Southwest Michigan. There's farms, there's people's got gardens, there's animals, pigs everywhere. I get it. But most of us, we depend 100% on the grocery store. If the Piggly Wiggly burns down, you're going to starve to death. Let's just face it, y'all. Let's just face it. If the Piggly Wiggly burns down, we're in trouble, okay? We don't have any cows in the backyard. I don't have any pigs in the backyard. I don't have any chickens in the backyard. I didn't milk my cow to have cereal with this. Listen, most of us depend on Kroger and Whole Foods and Walmart. Amen. That's what we do. The Homeowners Association probably wouldn't let you have cows anyway. And if they did, you wouldn't know what to do with them. Amen. Most of us just go to the grocery store. We're not hunting to stay alive. We're hunting for a four-wheel cart. That's what we're doing. We go sashaying through the grocery store, boy. You get your milk and your eggs, you know. Nobody's having to work for food and stuff like what they're doing. Amen. Say amen, church. Amen. Most of us, we just go to the grocery store. But I'm telling you right now, if something happened and it shut down our grocery stores, most of us would starve to death. Do you know that most people, they said if a terrorist attack or something happened in the United States, that most people on average only have enough food in their house to live for 2 to 3 weeks. That should be an eye-opener for you. That's a fact. If something happens, thank God the docs are back. Praise the Lord. Thank God all that's. But if something happened or a terrorist, something happened and shut down our grocery, most people in the United States only have enough food in their house to live for 2 to 3 weeks. That's a fact. Amen. If that. So here's my point. Here's my point. When you have a limited diet, it makes you vulnerable. When you have a limited diet, it makes you vulnerable. The lynx did not have a collapse. The snowshoe rabbit had a collapse. Jesus said, you seek me only for the loaves. You just want what you can get from me. You only want one thing from me. You only want me to bless you. You only want to come over here for the miracle. You only want what I can do for you. You're not interested in the other things that I have on the table. That's what he said. You're not interested in anything else that I've got on the table. All you want is what I can do for you. You want the miracle. Yes, I offer you salvation. Yes, I offer forgiveness from your sins. But I also offer you discipleship. I also offer you servitude. Church. You just want the miracle. He said, I also offer you sanctification. I also offer consecration and dedication. So many people just want what they can get from Jesus. Amen. Many people want to be so close to Jesus that they can get all the miracles, but not so close that it requires it. I want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the miracles, but not so close that it requires anything out of me. Quiet in here. So many people just want what they can get from Jesus. I only want to eat what I like that you offer. I only want to eat one dish, and then I want to take that little dish that I like, and then I'm going to take that and go do what I want to do with it, and then I want you to leave me alone, and I don't want you to tell me how to live my life. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I want to just want you to forgive my sins. That's all. You're the guy who died on a cross for me, and you just forgive my sins. That's all I want you to do. That's all I want to eat. Church, is that what happens? I don't want a relationship with you. He said to them that you're not coming for me. That's what he told them. He says, you're not coming for me. You come for the miracle. You just come for the bread. You come for only what I can do for you. And you're not interested in servitude. You're not interested in obedience. Church, he says, you're not interested in my will for your life. You got to eat the whole meal. I said, you got to eat the whole meal. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, unless I fill you with my presence. You got to eat it all so Jesus can fill you completely up with his presence, church. Amen. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless I fill you completely up with my presence, you have no part with me. And then the Bible says in John 6:66, watch this, that many of them turned away and walked away. Well, I only want from church what I can get out of. Church. He said many of them turned and walked away. Well, I only come to church so I can get what I want out of it. When I'm down, I need them to pick me up. I need a blessing. I need help. I need a comfort. I'm going through something. And you're only eating what you like from the master's table. You are only eating what you like from the master's table. It's not about just what Jesus can do for you. But once he saves you, you need to understand that there's more to it than just one subject. You got to eat the whole meal. You got to understand that once he saves you, there's more to it than just church. Jesus said in John 6:26, look, you didn't come to me but for anything but the loaves. We need the whole meal. Everybody say the whole meal.
Whole meal.
Everybody say the whole meal.
The whole meal.
Thank you. He said you didn't come for nothing but the loaves. That's it. It's the only reason you came. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. Everybody say all of it.
All of it.
And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. You don't get to pick and choose. I want salvation, but I don't want discipline. All scripture is given. You don't get to pick and choose. I want salvation, but don't you dare tell me how to live my life. I want salvation, but I want to hold on to my sins. I want salvation. Some people in this generation only want grace from the table. I'm going to tell it on this side. Some people in this generation only want grace from the table. That's all they want. Is grace. Everything is grace. I can do what I want to do. I'm under grace. If I want to stay in adultery, I'm under grace. I'm under grace. If I want to be a drunk or a drug addict, I'm under grace. That is not what this script. That is not what this scripture teaches us. That I'm under grace. I can do what I want. I can be what I want. Oh, I'm under grace. I'm under grace. No, you're not. It's not what this scripture teaches us. Some people just want grace. The scripture teaches us that all scripture, all of it, say all of it.
All.
Say all of it. It's not a limited diet. You're not just eating rabbits. You're not just eating rabbits, but you've got to get a hold of the whole meal, y'all. You've got to get to the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. If it's in the Bible, I'll eat it. I'll consume the word. Not just salvation. Church, it's not just about salvation, but sanctification, separation, consecration, dedication. It's not just about blessing and prosperity. Amen. Thank you. Eight of you got it. But I think with that blessing and prosperity, listen carefully, comes generosity. With that blessing and prosperity comes generosity. I see generosity. That's on the table too. I see tithing. That's on the table too. That's there. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just the cook. I'm just serving you the meal. But what I'm telling you is you cannot have the blessing of God on your life if you don't eat the whole meal. It's tithing. It's giving. It's helping the poor. It's ministering to people. It's loving people. It's being generous. It's all part of it. Heaven just isn't on the table that Jesus is serving. It's not just heaven. You got to eat the whole meal. It's not just heaven at the meal that he's serving, but this book also warns of hell. You got to eat the whole book. It's not just heaven that he's serving you. This book also talks about hell. This book also talks about judgment. It's not all love and mercy and forgiveness. And some people just want to come to church and they want one diet. I want a pick-me-up sermon. Oh, I want you to make me feel good, preacher. I want one of these sermons that's going to lift me up, and I want you to tell me how good God is going to bless me. That's all good, and that's a good diet to have, but you can't live off of that one diet. You got to eat the whole meal. And I want to tell you something. If you don't eat the whole meal and you don't eat all of this book right here, listen very carefully. It includes trials and tribulations and fire and setbacks. This book says you're going to go through it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says if you live Christly and godly, you will go through persecution if you serve Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what this book tells you. You're going to go through fire. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through disappointments. You're going to have your heart broken. And if you don't eat this whole book, when that stuff comes, you will be disillusioned. You will be disappointed. You will be mad at God because you didn't know. You ain't eating the whole meal. You're going to be disillusioned and mad at God when trials come to your life. But when you learn that you are my life. Jesus is my life. My car is not my life. My house is not my life. My family's not even my life. Jesus Christ is my life. And when you eat that whole meal, when you eat that and understand that, all of this stuff works. It works for you. Amen, church. Amen. Now, you know what? I love my life. I love my wife. I love my husband. But we're just not getting along right now. Amen. You got to eat the whole meal. I love my wife. I love my husband. We're just not getting along right now, so we're just going to call it quits and try it again with someone else. Come on, y'all. I believe in marriage. I want God to bless my marriage. Well, then you need to eat the whole meal. Because the Bible says what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. You got to eat the whole meal. And you'll spend just as much on a divorce as you would getting some help. You'll spend just as much emotional energy and effort on getting a divorce as you will getting some help. So maybe you ought to look at Ephesians 5:25 and say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Maybe you ought to look at verse 22 and say, wives, submit, honor, respect to your respect your husbands. Eat the whole meal. Thank you for that rousing applause. You got to eat the whole meal. It's easy to walk away from your marriage. It's easy to give up on everything. You got to eat the whole meal. And when you eat the whole meal, you'll have a blessed home. You'll have a blessed family. And it will all work out for the good when it's settled. I said it will all work out for the good when it's settled. That's what your Bible says. That's what your Bible says. When you eat the whole meal, it'll all work out for the good when it's all settled. I promise you, I want grace, but that's not all he's serving. He's also serving submission. He's serving obedience. He's serving responsibility along with liberty. We don't get to pick and choose at God's table. Whatever Jesus puts on the table, we're supposed to eat. Yeah. Amen. You don't get to pick and choose. Ain't Burger King. Your way right away. There are some demands that the Bible puts on us. You know that? 6 out of the 10 commandments are thou shalt nots. Oh, you know 6 out of the 10 commandments are thou shalt nots? The Lord puts demands on us. Oh, but I don't want no demands on me, God. I just want you to bless me. That's Old Testament. 6 out of them are 10, the thou shalt nots. Well, I just want to hear positive stuff. I just want to hear the good stuff. I don't want to hear the thou shalt not stuff. That's Old Testament. No, it's not. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. That's for today. Yeah. Church, that's not Old Testament. That's not Old Testament. That's right now, but you can't pick and choose. Can I tell you, you can't come to a church like this and say, well, here I am again, God. I just want you to bless me. Just bless me. Just bless me. And God will bless you. And God will bless you. But I want you to understand at some point, if you eat all of him, something inside of you is going to say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. You can come here every Sunday and say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Oh, help me. And he will. That's good. That's a good diet. But when you eat all of him, you'll understand that you're blessed to be a blessing to other people. Come on, somebody. I need to serve. I need to reach out to people. I need to help people reach the harvest. I need to get involved with the church and do something for the kingdom besides just coming and expecting miracle after miracle after miracle. Amen. It's the same diet all one way. Does that make sense? It's the same diet all one way. You come in here, eat the same meal. It's quiet in here this morning. It's quiet in here this morning. I love you. How did Satan attack Job? Watch this. He said, God, in so many words, Satan goes to God and he says, God, I want to attack Job because he's living off of one dish. It's prosperity. Watch. Job 1:11. He goes to God and he says that Job is living off of one dish. It's just blessing and prosperity. He is he's got one meal. You've blessed him. He's the richest man in the world. And if you let me take his wealth, he will surely curse you to your face. And God said, well, let's see if he's a one dish kind of guy. God said, let's see if he's a one dish kind of guy. Take everything he's got. Now watch this. Watch this. Satan attacked him. And in one day, he lost his entire business. Now I want to tell you this, church. We read this. We read this stuff. But let me ask you this. If you lost your entire business and your entire life in one day, would you get bitter at God? Four of you would. He lost his home. He lost his barns, he lost his family, he lost his flocks, he lost his stocks, he lost his sheep, he lost his entire livelihood. And one day we read this, but he lost every single thing he owned in one day. And I can see hell having a square dance. I can see hell having a square dance. And I can see the demons over there like, oh yeah, we got him now, God. Look, we got him. He's fixing to curse God. Watch him. He's fixing to curse God, y'all. The devils, the demons, they're all down there. Look, oh, he's opening his mouth. Watch, he's fixing to curse them. And God's looking over from the balconies of heaven. And he's watching Job. And the demons are all there. Look, he's going to curse them. He's going to do it. He's going to curse God because he's only been eaten from the blessings. That's all he's got is prosperity. And he just expected God just to bless him all the time. But here's a man who lost it all. And look what he said in Job. Look what he said in verse 21. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Watch this. And Satan's all, he's like, watch, here comes the cuss word. Here he comes. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And they're all like, here he goes. He said, but blessed be the name of the Lord. But blessed be the name of the Lord. They're down there like, oh, he's fixing a cuss. He's going to say something. Job says, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not in this for the car that he gives me. I'm not in this for the house or the neighborhood. I'm not in this. I'm in it because I love Jesus. That's what he said. Job ate the whole meal. Watch. Watch. He said, I love what he did for me. Come on, somebody. Like Paul, he says, I can abound or I can abase, but nothing can take my Jesus away. Watch this. Watch this. So Satan goes back to God. And he says, I know what his little dish is. I know what his one little, it wasn't prosperity. He said, I know what his one little dish is. It's his health. It's his health. If you take his health, go skin for skin, God. If you let me afflict his body, don't give him a miracle. Don't give him a miracle. Let him have to go to chemo and see if he makes it. Let him have to go through some things in this world and see if he makes it, see if he can stand it. Don't give him the miracle, God. Let him go through suffering. See, some people, they're good as long as God keeps doing miracles. Some people are really good as long as God keeps doing miracles in their life. Amen, church. But let me show you the real test of Christianity. Sometimes it's when you trust God and you don't have an answer for all of it. Sometimes it's you've got to trust God and you don't have an answer at all for anything that's going on in your life. I don't understand it. I don't know what in the world is going on right now, but Job is afflicted from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in sickness and disease. And with his diseased lips, he utters in Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." He ate the whole meal. He said, "And in the end, I will stand as pure gold." He's alive. My Redeemer is alive. And if they put me in the grave, though they slay me, they... He said, you got to understand what Job was doing. He ate the whole meal. He was diseased from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he said, my Redeemer lives. Amen. Though they put me in the grave, I will trust him. Come on, church. He's alive. He's alive. Praise him for it this morning. Can I tell you that's the whole meal? That's the whole meal, so I can serve him when the blessings are rolling in and the good times are rolling. Come on, let the good times roll, baby. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Look at my family. Look at my children. We're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Come on. Now I'm telling you, listen. It's what people... But I want to see what you do in the hard times. It's our people's favor. I'm blessed and highly favored. We are. But I want to see what you do when hell's attacking your family. When all the trouble's coming at you, that's when we find out what you've been eating. That's when we find out what you've been eating on. Is when the troubles come and the devil starts attacking your family. Because if you think it's all about this, sooner or later, you're going to get served some trials. Sooner or later, you're going to get served some setbacks. It's in here. Sooner or later, you're going to get served some troubles. You're going to get served some hurt and some pain. That's when you learn to get something down in your soul. Come on, church. I hope you're eating the whole meal that says, I'm prepared for this. Because if you don't, when it happens, you're going to be mad and disillusioned. And this is where all those sermons are good for more than just a few notes you wrote in your Bible. Church, you didn't hear what I said. This time of your life is where you hear these sermons and they're more than just a bunch of notes in your Bible. You need to go back and really eat the whole meal. I'm here to tell you, you better eat the whole meal. You got to get it down in your soul. This is where I pull out the sword of the Spirit. This is where you stand your ground. When God's not blessing you and the miracle's not coming after miracles, this is where you got to stand your ground and decree that my God is still alive. Amen. I want to give you one more thought. This is it. This is my last one. And the Lord really spoke to me on this one. And our church is growing. We're building. Amen. We have new people coming to Restoration Church every week. Every week. It's crazy. See, didn't you know we had a church in the high school? Here 2 years. Have new people coming to Restoration every week. And can I tell you, if you don't watch it, this church is growing. We're building. People coming and going. And if you don't watch it, you'll lose the culture of who you are as your church grows. I want to tell you this. We will always be a praising church. We will always be a praising church. And sometimes I'm here to tell you, if you're not careful, you will lose the culture of who you are. And we will always be a praising church. And sometimes if you were raised in a certain way and you only think God can do, the only thing that God can do in the area of your worship is the most he's ever going to get out of you in your way of thinking and worship as well, he might get a hand clap. Right? That's your way of worship. Never going to raise my hands. I'm never going to shout. I'm never going to lift my hands and praise the Lord in public places. But I must warn you, you are in one of those kind of churches. And you need to quit limiting God to just one little bowl of how Granny always worshiped the Lord. You need to quit limiting God to one little way of how you always thought about worshiping the Lord. Amen? Maybe every once in a while he wants you to get loose. Maybe every once in a while he wants you to clap your hands and sing. Come on, stand to your feet for me this morning. It might break all of heaven loose if you just throw your hands up this morning and lift up holy hands. We don't do it because it's a church thing. We do it because it's a Bible thing. Amen. We trust God. We trust God. Let's go. He's been too good to you to be quiet. He's been too good to you to be quiet. He's faithful. Come on, we want you, Lord. We're going to praise you this morning.